Last week, at the end of the summer, I asked a similar question to the beginning of the summer, when we had 6 pages, 3 columns each of people knowing they needed to unfollow something. Well, we asked the question, is there something yet you need to unfollow? And is there something God is calling you to follow? And I thought I needed to share some of that with you, but you wrote a lot more last week. And I just grabbed the top 6 cards off the stack that I have on my desk, because I read through them, and I'm praying through them. For this person, unfollow the blocks and insecurities that keep me from living my purpose, that keep me from contentment. Release all anger, the depression that keeps me from living, succeeding, and doing. And to follow belief, the gifts I've been given. This next person, unfollow hopelessness for the salvation of some of my family members, and follow the self-discipline of those with great self-discipline as a model for me. This third person wrote, that was third from the top of the stack, following to be satisfied with my life and situation in life, and to unfollowing discontentment with what I have and my strength. This person wrote sideways, to unfollow the news, sports, work issues that all draw my attention before God gets it. This person said, complaining and stress I need to unfollow, and I need to follow praying continually. The next one said, I need to unfollow worry about the unknown future, and I need to follow my heart molded by God through prayer and meditation. And finally, the last one of the short stack I grabbed said, I need to unfollow anger, heartache, unforgiveness, and despair. And I need to follow Jesus and His heartache. Forgiveness, hope in Jesus, trust Him through my pain and heartache, knowing He loves me and will care for me. Wow. God is so incredibly up to something here. I heard a preacher, though, a colleague preach a whole message and then wrapped it up saying, so take a stand. And I just want to say, don't take a stand. All that means is you click like on something on your social media. Don't just take a stand, just get a life and do something with your life. Don't talk to me about what you believe or think should happen. Do something, give something. You know, our best definition of faith around here is belief. In action. Belief in action. Do something. Give something. Inconveniently serve someone. It doesn't really feel like serving if it's really convenient. Love God. Love people. Serve the world for Jesus Christ. It hit me this way as I was thinking about our lives moving forward. You need and I need a God life. We need to worship God privately. I need some quiet time just to listen and quiet my own spirit before God. I also need a God life by being here and worshiping publicly, worshiping corporately together as this particular expression of the body of Christ in our area. We need a God life. You need a group life. We were never designed to do this alone. You are designed with people in mind. And then you need a give life. In other words, the most miserable people are the stingiest, whether they have money or they don't have money. You need a give life to serve the world. You need to be generous with what God has given you. Don't you know the Dead Sea is dead because it's the lowest spot on the planet? Nothing flows out of it. No life but a couple minute bacteria can live in it. It has no outflow. If your life does not have the outflow that it needs for you to have life, think about what a God life, a group life, and a give life for the life of Christ might mean for you and your family. And you need all three. You know, if you're 2 out of 3, if you're at 2 out of 3, that's not bad, but there is a next step for you to take, and you're not fully formed in Christ yet. None of us really are. But think about maybe in those areas, after our ad council, our visioning team came up with the loving God, loving people, serving the world for Jesus Christ, after a lot of study and prayer. And based on all of these unfollow responses, the number of people who are unfollowing things in order to follow Jesus is encouraging. It's incredible. And if we add praying to this list, and people begin following him, it cannot help but lead to revival. So that so many more people can know the peace, the hope, and the love of Jesus. From our lost 20-year-olds to our lost 10-year-olds to our lost 60-year-olds who just aren't so sure. Imagine if they could know the love of God. And the thing that they might just need is to be in love with him. With everyone Jesus meets, if you read the Gospels, one thing that hit me, it's this. Jesus gives the gift of notice. Jesus notices people. And not just the ones who are in his face. He notices just as much the people in the back row. No, just kidding. He notices just as much those on the fringes. He notices just as much as the good-looking ones that seem to have their lives together. He notices the unlovable people. And he especially goes after them. He pursued the poor. When you met Jesus, he noticed you. He really sees you inside and out. And at first people liked it, and then they weren't so sure. But then once they realized they could trust him, they loved it. And it changed their lives. Over and over in the Gospels, the writers witness how Jesus, they say things like this, knew their hearts, knew what they were thinking. Mark chapter 2, verse 8, immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about all these things in your hearts?" This great leader noticed hurting people. He noticed haughty people. He noticed hungry people. He noticed hate-filled people. And I want to say, just being noticed is one of the greatest gifts you can give anyone. I remember the business leader who gave the final to his college students with this question: what are the names of the custodians of this building? Do you notice? Is that a gift that you could give? Because today, Jesus sees you right where you are. He sees me right where I am. Your heart, your soul, your mind. And he loves you. And into that, he is calling you. If that's so, then church, how are we doing? Are we clear? Do we lend clarity? Or is our faith kind of nebulous? Because when people saw Jesus saw them, when people saw that Jesus saw them, really saw them, it was like this whole new life opened up to them. And how we can do that in our places of work, in our community, at village council meetings, at school board meetings, we can notice who is there and give them the gift of notice. Because I still fully believe that the church is the hope of the world. The government's not going to fix us. It can at best be helpful. Other people aren't going to be who I put my hope in, but the church is the hope of the world because the church contains the message of salvation, of the gospel. In every seat here is someone noticed by Jesus himself enough to make it here in order that others could experience the same gift when we use our prayers, our gifts, our talents, our time, and our serving. And I truly believe that God has done something in your life to bring you to this moment, even this summer. And if so, that's just like Simon Peter was. An ordinary businessman who loses his cool a little too often. God notices businessmen and businesswomen. Like Simon Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, God noticed something in Peter. A potential leader of the church, a witness of the crucifixion, a first responder to the resurrection, an international leader who found freedom in Christ, who was ultimately killed for his faith in Jesus, inspiring millions more Christ followers. But how do you get started I want to take you to where it all began, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. That's a picture of the Sea of Galilee. To listen to how it all began. Luke chapter 5, if you brought your Bibles with you. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, they called the lake different things, the Sea of Galilee. It is a lake. It is fresh water. You can eat tilapia there still today. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. Isn't it interesting that Jesus often notices us when we're so busy? Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. So Jesus is trying to teach, and nobody can hear what he's saying because the crowd's too big. There's a problem. Quick, can you get help? What happens is he is offering Peter this opportunity, almost like testing him. And it's a bias toward action. Can you respond when there's a problem? Now remember, they were in the middle of washing their nets. It meant putting their nets away and going and helping and noticing Jesus. You know, when Lee would say, honey, let's talk, and I would put away what I was doing, I'd come down and I'd sit down and I'd say, okay, what do you want to talk about? And then she'd say, just forget it. And I'd be like, what? I put away everything I was doing. I'm, okay, let's talk. And of course, what did she want? She wanted to be together. Remember, men communicate for information, women communicate for relationship. I learned that early in my life because she told me. And now it's all good. But there is a bias toward action. Jesus was looking for an action-oriented inner circle who could drop the nets when he needed to get out from shore in order to speak to the crowd. Jesus is looking for an action-oriented inner circle who wouldn't only be into themselves, but into where Jesus was working to reach people, into that relationship. You know that can be us. That can be you. Peter unknowingly showed Jesus he had a bias toward action, and Jesus is still looking for people with the gift of notice, who can notice things, who can notice when there's a problem, who can notice when we need to act with a bias toward action. Because what we're trying to build in our witness of the kingdom of God, it takes energy. You know, sometimes I am really guilty of saying someone else can do that or I'll pray about it, when God simply wants me to act in answer to my own prayer. One big win for our family was a few years ago, Hunter was in a class and they needed volunteers for some pretty thankless job. And Hunter found his hand going up. And he's like, okay, I just volunteered for that. And he did it and it was fine. But he told Lee over the phone, well, I thought, well, if Mom were here, she'd have volunteered me. Buddy, we're going to give you a bias toward action. Look at what happens next. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. And here we come to the second test of someone noticed by Jesus that Peter passes, and it's this, the can you follow direction test. If God says, don't go there, if God says, I'm calling you to this, if God says, just be still. Now, if I were Peter in this moment, I would be tempted to be talking to my brother Andrew. He's got to be kidding. Can't you see it? I can see Jesus and Peter. And Peter says, Master, who does not own a boat. Oh, wise teacher, not of fishing. We, not you, fished all night. But, and here's the key, Peter says, because you say so, I will. Because you say so, I will. Bissu, B-Y-S-S-I-W, because you say so, I will. Have you been there yet? Never mind, because I know that you have, because God is always inviting. Think about it. The random chance that you and somebody else are on the same planet at the same time, in the same place on the planet, means God probably has some kind of interaction and some noticing going on that he wants you to participate in. God is always invited. God's been inviting you literally in every moment because God invites you to join him in what God is doing. The question isn't about if God is at work or not. It's more about you and me. And can you follow direction? Practice BYSSIW. And that does mean submit. Hunter submitted his time for that little volunteer thing that his prof needed. Even though he only did it because he said, if mom were here, she'd have made me do it. Yes! But he did it. Belief in action. Submit to God in all his ways and see what happens. We are seeking this kind of level of understanding of what God is up to. All of us. And we're going to do it church-wide. We're going to do something kind of unique this year, and it is called the story. In other words, how do we get from here to there that we can give the gift of notice? I'm inviting Tim up because I want to interview him, because at his church that he served at in Indianapolis, they did the story. And I want to know, what is it about God's Word? Do you have a microphone? Oh, yes, you do. What is it about the story, whether you want to talk about the Bible in general or this overview that we're going to be looking at that you're excited about and that has moved you?
Well, I appreciate, Matt, what you've just said about God's pursuit of us, that he notices us, he loves us, because really that's what the Bible story is about. It starts, of course, in Genesis in the garden, and there's the chaos, and we chose our own way. The rest of the Bible story is about God's pursuit of us. It's about his love for us. He lays out provision for us to know him and be in relationship with him. And so what's wonderful about this story book is it's this upper level story of God's redemptive plan at work. As we read this story, it's an abridged version of the Bible. It's not all the text. It's an upper story of God's plan.
Mm-hmm. How has, so there are chunks of the Bible, but it's an overview.
Right.
Okay. You know, a lot of people know a lot of the stories of the Bible, but not how it all fits together.
Yeah.
And God can work when we see how it fits together, I think.
Yeah, Matt, I would say a lot of us who've been around church a long time, we might know many of the stories. We know the Noah story, we know Moses, we know Abraham, we know some of the other stories of the lion's den. We don't know necessarily how they connect. And so what I love about this is it helps us make the connection pieces. And mm-hmm. when things happened and why, and most importantly, how does it point to God's redemptive plan? Mm. And Matt, I hope that a lot of us have aha moments in this experience. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, that's why that's there.
Yeah. It is a chance for us as a whole church to do this. From the littlest of kids, I love Dave and Christy's song, from when you're a babe to when you're a big grown-up. God's got a word for you at that point in your life, and that means at our point in life where we are. And this is our way to do it. We're going to be doing it for adults. We're going to be doing it for youth, for children. Everybody's going to be pouring into this. Small groups, the sermons will tie in. It's 31 chapters to lay out the God story, because we don't pay attention because we're living this lower story of our lives. And we need to see, and this is going to really help us see how God's story impacts our story.
Right, right. So along that point, this is the book I'd love to have everyone get a copy of. This is available today by the cafe there on that countertop. These are only $5. They've been discounted by Zondervan to get them in folks' hands. This is the one we'd like everyone to read this year. It's 31 chapters, 31 weeks.
They're short.
They're short, yeah. It's a narrative, it's a story, it's chronological, so it reads like a novel.
Mm-hmm. There's several other pieces.
Yep.
Tell these guys about them.
All right, sure. This one is a study guide. This is the kind of thing you would complete each week, about an hour of reading, and you can have a chance to write your reactions. Then if you're in a home group or a small group, that will be the discussion format for the group that week.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I know of 15 groups already, Matt, who've committed to doing this for the year.
That's awesome.
And we're hoping for many more today and next week as well.
Are some Sunday school classes?
One Sunday school class, one at 8:20 this hour, sorry. But maybe we'll have another one at 9:40 or 11 if someone wants to lead that. This other book is more of a companion guide. It's if the story is the what happened, this is the how and why. This is the commentary. So folks can get that as well if they'd like to.
Awesome.
And you mentioned children, Matt. There are three books for children that are age-specific, from kindergarten, or sorry, from nursery through kindergarten, and then from kindergarten to second grade, and then third and fourth grade. So it's very well written so that the children also are getting the story.
God is up to something, and we need to understand the primary revelation of who God is as he has revealed himself. It is my hope that this can be something that empowers us as we go from here. One last question, just personally for you, what is an experience you've had, or how has God used his word in your life?
I remember the preaching series, Matt, when we did it in Indianapolis, that every week we knew that we were going to go a step further in the big story, and we got to dive in deeper that week and see what it was that the word had to say to us. And it was just this continual flow that the whole church was talking about it, the sermon, the youth, the adults, and the children. Mm-hmm. So we grew together. And that's what I hope for us here, that you will find new hope and new hunger for diving into the word.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
There's going to be more to say about it, but you can pick this these things up by the cafe in the atrium. There's also a big wall, if we can show that. If you want to do this, if you would be interested in potentially plugging into a group, but you don't know when yet, you can simply write your name down on the sheets that are by the wall that's toward the restrooms in the atrium, and we will do our best to connect groups together, because we're called to do life together, and God has invited us to do that. That's partly us getting close to God in this way. Let's go back to the calling and how this all started out. So Peter submitted, because you said so, I will. Peter submitted, and it meant the biggest haul of fish in his life. Look what happened next, verse 6. When they had done so, cast their nets down deep, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that the boats began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, like the light bulb went on, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Peter fell and worshiped Jesus. And that leads to the next thing about being noticed, and it's this third test, the who deserves the credit test. Peter could have made it all about him. It was his boats. It was his nets. But this is important. Who gets the credit? You know, in a selfie world, true Christ followers give credit where credit is due. Honest people realize how many people it takes to create success and how many people get noticed. It takes so many people to create success, theirs and anybody else's success. It's like the long, long list of credits at the end of a movie. You know, until the Marvel movies, I didn't stay till the end of the credits, but they have all these little extra scenes you got to see that set up this big serial set of movies. And I'm always blown away by the thousands and thousands of names that have to be listed at the end of a film. It's that same way. Who gets the credit? Who shared Christ, for example, with Mother Teresa before she was Mother Teresa? Who was Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher? And on it goes. Look at Peter. Who gets the credit? He's falling on his knees, falling at Jesus' knees. And it makes me wonder, has anyone ever caught you worshiping Jesus? Maybe they've seen you here. Have they ever caught you having a quiet time at home? Have you ever worshiped Jesus for everything he's done for you? Simon Peter knows who gets the credit. And it is so countercultural because it's not all about us. Look at what happens next. Then Jesus says to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch people." And this is the fourth test, the grander vision test. After the catch, Jesus basically says, "You think that was fun, catching this huge haul of fish? Try going for people. Think of that." And that's the question. What do you want to be about? bigger fish. There's a bigger fish to fry, and it's people. God treasures his kids most of everything on the planet. It's about reaching people. And once this grander vision has seized you, it kind of wrecks you. That God literally wants to reach every person at work with his message, with his freedom. Once that happens and it wrecks you, you can't go back to tilapia like you once could. It's one of the most powerful gifts you can receive. You know, I was always, when I was a young man, afraid that I was going to be on this quest for my life and I'd get to somewhere where I had set myself a goal for myself and realize, oh my gosh, I'm on the wrong mountain. I'm in the wrong jungle. One of the most powerful gifts you can receive is this grander vision. And here's the deal. If you can say this about yourself too. If my quirky gifts or my broken life can be used by God to reach and to help people's lives and destinies, well then let's go. Because Jesus noticed Peter, he heard Jesus' message. And it's the same in your life and mine. The gift of notice is something you can give. So I want to challenge you on this. We're not just playing church. We don't just want to be a nice church for yuppies. We're changing the world, and you are invited to this grander vision. And look at how Luke wraps up this account. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. There's a fifth test that can stop us dead in our tracks. And it's this, the will you leave it test. Will you leave it test? Here we're talking the price of going with Jesus. You know, if it grips you, if it's powerful enough, go for it. We say, but what about all this? And that's what stops us. There's a cost, and we cave in. We lose God's version of the life that he has for us from that moment on, that we cannot leave everything and follow Jesus. You know, I noticed when I was reading Scripture, we don't get much of the story of those who couldn't unfollow all their other stuff. Because living this Jesus life costs me, and it costs you. And so we live for this lesser dream, and we only go fishing for fish, and I like fish. But God loves people. And following Jesus usually means that stuff does get left behind. Because Jesus promises so much more. As you're looking at what you're pursuing right now, is it a plan? Is it a pursuit that already includes Jesus? If it is, then go for it. If it doesn't yet, I want you to think about this. Maybe it's time to get outside your comfort zone. As I look at my life, everything great that happened in my life happened when I stepped outside my comfort zone. From asking Lee Goodwin to marry me to saying, yes, God, do this, to, yeah, I'll go work there. I don't know anything about it, but I'll try it. And to step outside our comfort zone, you do have to leave some things behind. Jesus left heaven behind to come here. We call that Christmas. Jesus left his blood behind when he died. He chose to lay it all down, his life, for the grander vision of everyone knowing eternal life with God. And for me to get a life, I need to do this. So this week, we've got a couple of assignments. One is revisit these tests, the bias toward action test, the can you follow direction test, who deserves the credit test, the grander vision test, and the will you leave it test. As you introspect in your life, think about how Jesus called Peter and how Peter responded. And then secondly, start giving people the gift of notice. For you to receive the life God noticed you for, don't shrink back. But be intentional. You don't have to apologize anymore. Because God is about to do something. Yet, just as Peter followed Jesus and the other disciples followed Jesus, they left their nets behind. He did not promise them wealth. He did not promise them no problems. He did not necessarily promise them community or to get all of their needs met or friendship or understanding or security or anything of personal benefit to them or to us. He only promises a cause worthy of God, worthy of giving your life for, in order to get a life. Matthew records Jesus saying this, as do the other disciples. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me, Jesus says, will find it. Just one final word of hope before we move from here, and it's this. Jesus saw Peter. He gave him the gift of notice. But Jesus also noticed good in Peter, just like he did and has in you. And he is crazy about you, just like he was Simon Peter. Jesus noticed the good in Simon, so much so that Jesus gave him the name Peter, which means the rock, the foundation, solid person. Through Peter's leadership, God changed the world, and God's not done. And Peter's confession, when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," it broke Peter. It changed him. It gave him courage. It gave those around him courage for the kingdom. So we need to think and walk through these tests in our own lives, going with Jesus, being noticed by him to help other people realize how noticed they are and what a gift that is. We need to share this with our kids. We need to offer them to our families and to our church. I'm done with Matt Hook's version of Matt Hook. I want to go with Jesus. I want us to fulfill a redemptive potential, that the Holy Spirit would fill our lives to overflowing, that other people would receive the gift. Let us pray. Almighty God, I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, who left heaven behind, who lived his life, who called those first disciples and said, "I want you to do this with me." And I thank you, God, that you call us still. So, Lord, as we go from here, I pray that you would help us with our God life, with our group life, with our give life, that we are not to do it alone, but first of all with you. I thank you for the bias toward action that Peter had and for how that changed the world and got your word to us here, that we no longer have to live frustrated, out of sorts, but that we can know that you love us, that you see us inside and out, and you have a great plan for our lives. God, some of us have never thought of it like this before, and for those of us in that spot, I pray that you would help us take our next step with you, whether that's leaving stuff behind, whether that's answering the question, "Because you say so, Lord, I will." Only you, Lord God, know what that is in our hearts, because you see our hearts so clearly. Lord, thank you for the gift of being noticed, and may we offer that in abundance this morning and this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.